Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Now this morning, right throughout the morning, there's going to be a whole lot of little innuendos and statements and lines that many of you might not know. They might just slip through, but some of you will, and I hope you enjoy what we've got for you this morning. So, good morning, church. It's a joy to be with you this morning. Now, that's Pastor Hal, ever since I've known him, getting up to start a sermon. So, welcome. We're going to take up straight away so that we can move through the formalities and get on to the fun part of life. We're going to take up tithes and offerings this morning. We're not going to do announcements. Heaven forbid that we're not going to do them. But we're going to take up tithes and offerings. We couldn't let that pass. If you're visiting, obviously, from another church, we encourage you to let the beakers pass you by. However, if you do want to make an offering, we are going to put the offering this morning towards the school that has been started by Marita Simpson, that Hal and Jill support immensely. And so the offering will go to the school in Uganda this morning. This morning is not going to be some slick, modern, digital production. It's going to be instead a walk down memory lane as we honour our pastor. And as Pastor Hal would say, due to the time that Pastor has given me, we can only touch the mountaintops this morning. In respect and honour of Pastor Hal's wishes, there is no big fanfare, and I mean that. No party. There's been no special invites, so if you hear somebody upset that they weren't invited, stiff. But we did use social media, and even though I'm not a fan of Facebook, this is one time where I'm pleased with Facebook. Instead of all the fuss and bother, we felt the best way to celebrate this momentous milestone was by joining together like we have, to honour God first, to give our God thanks for the testimony of his grace that has been upon Pastor Oxley over the last 100 years. By the way, prophetically, I think he'll probably make 120 years because that's the end of all flesh. So as family and friends, let's enjoy going down memory lane as we revisit some of the things that remind us of the incredible blessing and gift that Pastor Hal has been and is to us all. This morning, I especially want to welcome Pastor Hal's family, obviously Jill. As we know and see and hear regularly when Pastor Hal is preaching, they make a formidable team. You haven't got your little... You forgot your red light that never stays still on the charts anyhow. Welcome, Pam, his daughter, and her husband, Ken. Pastor Hal's three grandchildren and their three great-grandchildren, Katrina and Nick, and little Nathan. He played that tambourine so well this morning. Emily, welcome, Em. And Andrew and his wife, Mindy, and their two children, Gideon and Theodore. I also wish to welcome so many guests that have come to celebrate with us today. Too many to acknowledge separately, except for one that flew in from Canada yesterday. And I think you win the prize, Pastor Graham, for the greatest distance. And Pastor Graham flew in yesterday and flies out tomorrow. And so we just thank you for honouring Pastor Hal like that. I've received many apologies from those who wanted to be with us this morning, too many for me to acknowledge. But again, with other church services running and so many other things on, we understand that. This morning at about 11 o'clock, the Honourable Tony Smith will be with us shortly. He's on a tight schedule. It is his wife's birthday this morning. And he has appointments in Canberra this afternoon. So it's a real honour that he will be here when he comes at 11 o'clock. Now, I'm very confident that we haven't anyone here who knew Pastor Oxley when he was born in 1916. But just in case. No, none. Sorry, Hal, none here. But let's see how far back we go. So let's stand, if you were with Pastor Hal, when the church started in 1958.
Well done, Pam.
Now, you have to stay standing, Pam. Sorry, you've got to stay standing, please. Okay, let's move forward 10 years. And if you were there between 1958 and 1968, Q, why don't you stand? That is amazing, isn't it? What about if you were at Oban Road? Stand if you were at Oban Road. That's awesome. What about 1977 when we moved to Maroondah Highway 331? Used to be Life Ministry Centre, now it's Death Ministry Centre. Toban Brothers own it now. What about when we moved onto this property in 1986, the church that is? The school started here in 82. Let's welcome and congratulate these ones. You know, time doesn't permit this morning for me to acknowledge everybody, but I certainly want to acknowledge this morning Ken and Sue Morrison and John and Cheryl Pilliphant. I'm sure they could share with us lots and lots of stories. I personally want to thank you both families for your loyalty to both Pastor Hal and to the church. It's just a wonderful thing. Now, so I don't get a pastor's white card on Monday morning. Now, that wasn't very good. How many people know what a pastor's white card is? How many people have had a pastor's white card? And Jill, I'm sure you get many of them. Even though I was a good boy, I seem to get quite a few. You would get a pastor's white card if you preached and you didn't open the Word of God. And so this morning we're going to open the Word of God because I don't want a pastor's white card. And as I was contemplating what would be a fitting passage or scripture that would be something that I would remember or others would remember, it came back to Romans 6. So let me read to you Romans 6, 1-14, and you might get some Pastor Hal inflections as we go through. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Oh, by the way, it's in the King James Version, of course. That's the only version. Hal, there wasn't many smiles for that one, I can tell you. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now everyone should say, knowing this. Come on.
Knowing this.
That's it. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should no longer serve sin. For he that is dead and freed from sin, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And then we get the next little one, reckon. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead into Christ, but alive unto God. Sorry, dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves, that was the next one, unto God, as those that are alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, I don't know how many of you have sat under Pastor Hal's teaching, but Romans 6:6 was one of those scriptures that I remember being bored into my brain. And whenever Pastor Hal wanted to know whether a Bible translation was a true, correct translation, he would always read Romans 6:6 to check it out. Now, you'll see on the walls visual testimony to the legacy of the many years of study and teaching that we have been blessed to sit under. And there is Romans 6:6. I think it's over there. Is it over there? Romans 6:6 is over there for those. Unfortunately, we couldn't put all the charts, and whoever said sheets before, how dare you? They are not sheets, they're charts. That's only 20 of the 161 charts that Pastor Hal ministered out of. And that was well before overhead projectors, well before, obviously, whatever we've got now, those things up there that shine on there. You know those ones? So, again, have a look at that. Have a walk down memory lane and just look at the incredible richness and depth of the teaching that we have been blessed to sit under. In your notice sheets this morning, you have a brief bio of Pastor Hal's life. And again, for time's sake, I'm not going to read it to you, but I encourage you to read it later. And as you do, I'd like you to take time to meditate on the facets of Pastor Hal's life. And again, knowing that before Hal was even conceived, all the works that he was going to do were written in God's book. This is a testimony to God's glory and grace and the stepping stones of life that have caused him to be the man of God that he is. He was a military man, as you know, an industrious, a pastor, a teacher, a mentor. I say, what a life, what a man. And again, we are honouring God, but we're certainly thanking God for the richness of that life. So now it's time to have a blast from the past. Now, I could ask Sue Morrison and Heather Field to get up and sing Psalm 1, but we won't. Or maybe we could have Adrian Turner and Lynn Burke get up and sing The Blood, but we won't. Or we could have the latest duo on the hit parade, Pastor Andrew and Sister Skye, but we're not. Instead, we're going to have Richard and Deb Hunt come and lead us down memory lane as we have a taste of some of Pastor Hal's favourite choruses. So sit, enjoy. Deb, Richard, Andy and Skye, if you'd like to come up.
It's a real honour to sing these songs for you today, Pastor Oxley. As we started to think about all the old songs, there were some really good ones and there were some quite corny ones, but ultimately they were songs that changed our lives and went deep into our hearts. And it didn't matter about the tunes, they were the word of God. And so we'll just do a couple, and if you want to sing along, that's fine, please do. I'm not ready to do it by myself, so. Ready.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
He has made me glad.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I am born again. More
I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's my strength and my shield. He gives power to all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now there is no condemnation. He's the rock of my salvation. I can run through a troop and leap over.
There's some of the faster ones that we used to do. And I remember we used to run through that troop and leap over the wall. I think there was actions even to that. And as a teenager growing up, I remembered Sue Morrison coming up and singing Psalm 1. And I used to think, oh, that's lovely. Then I remembered Lynn and Adrian singing The Blood, and I'd sit there. And then one day I heard Richard and Debbie come up and sing, and I thought, oh, really, me and Richard? So we'd made it to sing for Pastor Roxy. And so now it's Andrew, who's our eldest son, and Skye, and they're now coming to sing. So I feel really, it's just such a lovely thing to see your children serving the same way. So they're going to come and join us for a couple of other songs here as we sing.
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back at Calvary, oh, the blood that gives me strength from death.
Now we're going to just have a quick look at a pictorial snapshot. And as with the charts, it's impossible to do justice to Hal's 100 years in just a few minutes. But thanks to Dale Cocaine, who has spent countless hours trawling through the photo archives, we're going to give you a taste of young Hal. Hal is the soldier. the first year of Bible college and visiting ministries and his incredible preaching poses. So let's turn off the lights and let's just have a quick look at this slideshow. Thank you. I'm going to ask Pam if she would come up and talk about her dad. I first met Pam in 1975 when we attended boot camp. Bible college. How many people, just stand if you went through Life Ministry Bible College. Just stand if you're here this morning, you went through Life Ministry Bible College. That's amazing. Thank you so much for coming out. Please sit in. Pam, thank you for coming. Thank you for giving us a glimpse of your dad. Thank you for sharing us the impact that he's had on your life. And Pam, I want to honour you this morning for the sacrifice you've made in sharing your dad with us. Thank you. Bless you.
Now I was going to have a microphone in hand. Am I on?
You got to talk into it?
Yeah. And put my glasses on would be good. Hello, everyone. What a special time it is to be with you. Yes, sir. Today I am honoured to talk about what Dad means to me. But before I do that, I would like to state a few points. Firstly, please excuse me reading my notes, as there is far too much for me to memorise, an area in which I am definitely unlike my dad. And within my notes, there are some tongue-in-cheek comments, something only a daughter can get away with saying sometimes. Secondly, what I say is from my memory, starting when I was about 5 years old, the time when both my parents came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour and Lord. This is when our family's life direction began to change. Thirdly, I would like to acknowledge Jill. In the year my mother passed away, when I was 12 years old, and Dad, a businessman, church founder, and a dad and mum to me, a young 28-year-old Jill came along and arrived, making our house a home, and we became a family unit. Over the past 52 years, and I pray there will be many more, Jill has invested her life and heart in us, and in how Dad has become the person we are celebrating today. Jill, from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you. Fourthly, my dad is like all of us, a mere human being, knowing the ups and downs, successes and tragedies on life's journey. Yet, one can see God's strong hand upon him, God's purpose for Dad being outworked right from his God-fearing upbringing and Christian schooling. Through his successful military and industrial careers, and lastly, but certainly not the least, his coming into the kingdom of God, where his training, abilities and skills came to the fore as he served so willingly and successfully under the Lord's command. God prepared Dad well in his earthly experiences to be the person he is today. The same can be true for us all if we choose, like Dad, to follow the Lord by handing our lives over to his lordship. Lastly, I wish to point out, were it not for the undeserved favour, grace and love of God upon my dad, he would not be the sort of man he has changed to become in God. All credit goes to God and the powerful work of the Lord, taking him and transforming his life from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. As Paul said, "But far be it that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." Knowing my earthly father in a loving and joyous relationship has paved the course for me to know my heavenly father in the same way. So many of the characteristics I see expressed in my earthly father correlate with those of my heavenly father. Again, as Paul said, "But we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him." Dad has meant many things to me: a leader of men, an inspiration, an optimist, a man's man, a soul saver. One you can model your life upon, who is faithful, having faith for miracles in all areas of life. I pause here to talk about one of the many healings which took place within our family. On occasions, both Jill and I would fall ill, so a home visit by our doctor would be booked. But Dad returning home would pray for us, and we would be healed. Then the doctor's knock on the door. And then there was some serious, serious explaining to do. Consequently, over the years, Jill and I have had very little sick leave taken. Dad has been a soul saver. In his natural life, when young and 6 foot tall, as we've seen here, bronzed and strong, he was a lifesaver at Sydney's Bronte Surf Beach. And from then on, in the spiritual realm, through his ministry with the Lord, many lost souls have been saved from the snare of the enemy, myself included. Were it not for the unmerited favour, grace and love of God. Most of you know Dad is one who speaks and acts confidently, decisively and with authority. At times, this authority was shown by his love for big and powerful American cars, and on occasions, a heavy foot. Dad is cheerful and fun, having a great sense of humour. He often used to play tricks on me, like miraculously pulling chewing gum out of my ear. Or he'd become a cheeky ventriloquist with our mate, Jerry G. Yes, Dad is great fun to be with, but also a just disciplinarian who firmly carried out correction in a controlled manner and always ending up with confirmation of his love for me. When a child, I and another one of those terrible pastor's kids stole and ate a whole packet of Dad's well-loved lollies, and then I lied about doing so. Not a very clever move on my part. And then some firm action was needed. But only once was this firm action needed, as from then on, I knew the consequences of stealing and lying, and in fact, I had learnt the hard way that to turn away from Dad's training and guidance was inevitably to my own peril. Just as it is with my Heavenly Father. Conversely, I felt a gentler touch of Dad's hand when he regularly gave out his wonderfully soothing back and head massages. Dad is ordered, organised and brilliant at time management. When he was managing director of a large industrial company, founding pastor of this church, Bible teacher, counsellor, youth leader, as well as being both dad and mum to me, he still managed to be at all my school functions. In particular, I remember one year's open day when I proudly insisted he come to the art room and see my red paper monster mache. It was no masterpiece, although in my eyes it was. I've never forgotten this day and look back and think what sacrifice he has made for me. Always there for me. No matter how busy, the door of Dad's heart has been open to me. We have a close relationship and Dad is a friend and confidant. My dad is such a capable and multi-talented person. In my eyes, Dad can do anything from fixing a fine piece of jewellery of mine or building an extension to our family home. And what a wonderful provider Dad has been, always having all I needed, plus more. With many clothes shopping sprees done together, fantastic birthday parties organised, and great holidays with a girlfriend to join us to keep me company, and in latter years, a boyfriend would be asked to escort me. An encourager and teacher, my dad has always been. From homework tutor through to explaining hidden truths in the Word of God. And there is no such word as can't in Dad's vocabulary, but instead knowing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which, by the way, was my reading this morning. This was known when, despite my imperfect piano playing and Dad's gravelly singing voice leading, wonderful times of praise and worship to the Lord have been experienced. But perhaps there is an area where Dad is not so capable and talented, and that is in the cooking department. When I was in primary school, Dad and I batched for a few years. And to this day, I picture a packet of Deb potato, powdered mashed potatoes, sitting atop the fridge, just up there, ready to, to accompany our very regular meal of grilled lamb chops. Dad tried hard, but he really was and still is no cook. Isn't that right, Jill? Amen. Thank you, Jill. Dad is reliable and consistent. He never seems to change. Actually, just once I do remember Dad changing his mind. And what's more, I was not given a reason for the change. I just had to trust his decision. Just as we sometimes must trust God with his mysterious ways with us. Dad is highly disciplined. With his physical body, he still exercises each day and, weather permitting, goes for his constitutional daily, I'd call it a march. And spiritually, every day he spends time with his Lord and he attends each Sunday's church service. Disciplined in all things? No. My dad is human. He has a weakness. All things sweet, especially sugar in his cuppers. But I must give credit where it's due. Such intake has been reduced substantially over latter years. But hey, why take drastic measures when you're 100 years old? For your health's sake? Dad is not envious or bad-tempered. He always is patient. Well, perhaps no, not always. I can think of an exception when he was the father of the bride as nothing was going to stop him escorting me down the aisle before the scheduled queue to do so. Except on this day, I held the reins of control. Dad is a friendly fellow, always up for a joke or a good story to tell. He's a counsellor with a ready answer for one's dilemma, and he is sure to make interesting and engaging comments on the latest public topic of conversation. Only a few weeks ago, I had a query about euthanasia, and within a day or two, I had a well-articulated biblical answer sent to me. There is always some project on the go. Dad may be working on his next book, preparing a sermon, investing time and energy into someone's life, or planning a day out, only to give Jill a break, of course. He is ever learning, teaching, and delving into the Word of God for more insight into spiritual matters. Were it not for the undeserved grace and favour and love of God. Constantly, Dad is a prayerful and a prayer warrior. Even when faced with his grandson, baby Andrew, screaming with colic pain, he took him into his arms to march around the house with the strains of the chorus, "In the name of Jesus, we have the victory." What chance did the colic have of hanging around? We could do with your help in our home at the moment, great granddad. There is, I've lost my place. Of course, Dad was always ready for the snare of the enemy by putting on the whole armour of God. Even when receiving into his study prospective suitors for me, Father's old military sword stood tall and threateningly in his study corner, ready to swing into action on hearing the command to do so. And yet, Dad is loving, caring, and gentle. I still remember that feeling of warmth and protection when I wake up after a bad dream, sitting on Dad's lap with his strong arms around me and looking up into his kind and understanding face and realising all was well. My dad was right there with me. How well this picture correlates with my heavenly Father's attitude towards me when I'm going through a hard time. In any situation, Dad is ordered and in control. But perhaps there was an exception to overcoming and bringing all into captivity and obedience with the arrival into the family in 1975 of one red setter puppy dog, Rangy. A pathway of destruction and disorder was seen. Hanging, washing, strewn around what was left of the garden. The result was bedlam. But a quick decision was made by Father, saying to Jill, "You know, Jill, Rangy would be better suited living elsewhere. Like out in the country, far away." It was a heartache, though, to say farewell to Rangy, but a wonderful sense of relief for all concerned, not the least being Rangy. What a visionary he is. We must press on, seeing the big picture, not looking back, but to the future, not embittered by past regrets or adversity, but instead being thankful and appreciative, pressing forward with determination. Jill and I can confirm this trait as when visiting England, we had just driven past the turnoff to the village where our forefathers lived. Alas, no, there was no turning back to go over past history. One must keep to the planned agenda and reach the day's target. Dad has always been active in manly pursuits. I have this vivid picture of Dad going off to do some fishing and hunting, striding across a long grassed acreage with his boat on his back, its outboard motor carried across his shoulder and a large walking stick in hand to ward off and strike those snakes that would usually cross his path. Later, Dad would return with a catch of fish and dead snakes wrapped around the stick, eventually to hang over the front wire fence. I never quite knew what Dad was the most proud of, catching the fish or the snakes. Dad has always been a perfect gentleman. Even at the age of 100, being hard of sight and hearing, he opens and shuts doors and pulls out chairs for lady, stands to greet ladies and men, and lost my place. Sorry. And he's always with the height of good manners and punctuality. Never too late, never too early, but must be on time. His military training for strict punctuality and lights out was enforced upon me in my courting years when parked with a boyfriend late at night out the front of our home, as suddenly the house would literally light up like a Christmas tree, with lights flashing on and off and on and off at 12:01 a.m., 1 minute past deadline. It's a wonder I ever hooked a husband. Dad is always turned out as a well-groomed gentleman. Spick and span, smart and neat. I saw Dad's detail for good grooming on the many occasions when his suit button came adrift at the 11th hour, when Dad would call, "Jill, would you please sew on my button as it's fallen off?" Patience has become one of dear Jill's greatest virtues. What my father has meant to me is founded on just one principle: being the example of how to live a great life, both in the natural and spiritual world, by handing all over to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, Father is a magnificent living example reflecting a life totally surrendered to the Lord. And seeing this, I too was eager and felt free to also come to know my magnificent Heavenly Father and to follow him as Lord of my life. Were it not for the undeserved favour, grace and love of God. Graham asked me to speak on what my dad means to me as his daughter. Yes, I am an only child, but in fact, I know there are many here today and in many parts of the world who would call my dad their dad too, because this is what he means to them, a father figure who has given them time to deposit keys for living life well, both now and for eternity. What does my dad mean to me? Well, it seems that over the years, the more I get to know and spend time with Dad, the more I come to love and admire him. This ever-deepening father-daughter relationship correlates with and inspires me to pursue a more deepening relationship with my Heavenly Father. This is what being Dad's daughter means to me. But for the undeserved favour, grace and love of God. Dad, I feel tremendously privileged to call you my dad and to know you as my dad in a wonderfully loving and free relationship. I honour and respect you, Dad. I love and cherish you more and more. Thank you.
Thanks, Pam. I'm going to ask Honourable Tony Smith to come in a minute and just present to Pastor Hal messages from the Queen, from the Prime Minister, from the Governor General, from himself, and from David Hodgett, MP. It's a real joy and a privilege to have Tony with us. Tony was elected the federal member for Casey at the 2001 federal election. He was then re-elected in 2004, 2007, 2010, 2013 and 2016. And I know he thanks you all. On the 10th of August 2015, Tony was also re-elected as the 30th Speaker of the House of Representatives, which is an incredible honour and privilege in our country. And again, he was re-elected as Speaker on the 30th of August. As our Federal Member of Parliament, Tony represents more than 109,000 voters across nearly 2,500 square metres. Tony and his wife Pam have lived their whole lives in the eastern suburbs and now live in Chirnside Park with their two sons, Thomas and Angus, and their two dogs, Maggie and Flynn. And I'm afraid to say he barracks for Carlton. Please welcome Tony as he comes to share.
Well, what a special day this is. We celebrate a magnificent 100 years from a magnificent Australian. I heard Hal speak a couple of years ago at the Thanksgiving Day breakfast, and everyone in the room was inspired. When we reflect on your 100 years, we reflect on our nation's history. You were born midway through World War I. Billy Hughes was Prime Minister, and Australia was involved in an epic conflict. You decided to serve this nation and did so in time of war. And having returned, you decided to keep serving this nation and to serve the community in so many ways. Hal, for everyone in this room, we're all younger than you. Can I say your life is not just an inspiration, but should be an aspiration for all. This magnificent school, this magnificent ministry wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your determination, vision, and commitment. And everyone thanks you for it. We're a great democracy. You defended those values in war. And we're a great nation. And the reason we are is because of people like yourself. That's why. And today we recognise it, we celebrate it. Your family are so, so proud of you, and so is your entire community. As Graham said, it's my pleasure to be able to personally present to you congratulations messages from across Australia and from across the seas. And Graham, we'll just bring you up now. I'll present them first. No, hang on. I'm the speaker. Just work. But you're 100.
I'm going to get a copy of what he said. I've never had a clap like that from what I've said.
You don't want to come to Canberra, I'll take you to question time. Could I present these one at a time from your State Member of Parliament, who I saw yesterday, Mr. David Hodgett, the Member for Croydon and the Deputy Leader of the Opposition. A congratulations from him, and I'm glad you've got your wife and daughter here. You're going to have your hands full. We've got quite a few. From myself, Hal. From the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull. From the Governor General. And from the Queen.
Don't touch. You might be the speaker, but you don't touch. Tony, thank you so much for coming. We know you have to go. We know you have appointments in Canberra today. So let's thank Tony for coming this morning. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask Pastor Alan Meyer to come now and just share a few of his reflections. As Pam said, Pastor Hal has spiritually fathered many kids over the years. And I think Alan would be one of those who helped him lose his hair. I'd like you to know that I wasn't one of those because I've always been a good boy. Now, again, because of time, I'm not going to tell you any stories, but I could tell you some naughty boy stories about Alan and myself and Pastor Hal, but we'll keep them for another day. I've asked Alan to share some of the legacies that Hal has left in his life. And as he does this, just remember that Alan is representing the hundreds and hundreds of pastors and leaders around the world that have been impacted, trained, mentored and inspired through Hal's teaching and his example. Al, thank you for coming and honouring Pastor Hal.
Thank you, Graham, and to you, sir, my pastor and my friend. For some things, there simply aren't adequate words. The Bible records in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And the Bible says that that sums up to a great salvation. And in the next few verses says this, how shall we escape if we neglect or ignore so great a salvation? I'm grateful, I guess, if I was going to speak today on behalf of two people, two groups. Firstly, those who are not here. When I first put this up on Facebook to announce that today would be on. My brother was the first respondent who said, I wish I could be there. He saved my life. So he was going to not be here, but he actually is here. So you messed up the first part there, Zander. But it is true. I will remember. I still remember. I was a young school teacher with a call of God on his life, running an open house when my brother first returned from his years kind of in the wilderness. And there was no teen challenge in those days, but there was Bible college. And it was that Bible college that saved his life. And in the final week of that year, it was Pastor Hal who delivered my brother of a demonic bondage in his life that means that he's not only persisted and sustained his walk, but he today leads Teen Challenge in this state. I'm proud of you, sir, and I'm proud of my brother, and we're grateful for those who still stand because of you. Secondly, I wanted to speak a little on behalf of those who lead and endure because of the impact that you have had upon our lives. My first encounter with you was at the Q Church. While we were young Lutherans who were kind of puzzled and interested in the charismatic movement. My first visit to that church was to hear Pastor Peter Morrow speak from the book of James. You stood to the platform when it came time to preach and commanded that all the heating be turned off because you didn't want anybody going to sleep during the message. As a young Lutheran, I'd never seen such a command given from the pulpit before. And I was aware that I was in the presence of a different kind of leadership. Over the years, I noticed that kind of commanding leadership softened to a kind of democratic leadership. And I learned the essence of democracy in another one of those situations where heating was involved, where you allowed the congregation to vote as to whether the heating should remain on or off. Three people put up their hands to turn off the heating. Hundreds put up their hands to leave the heating on. You said it looked about 50-50 to you. And as a result, we would turn the heating off. And later, if it was necessary, we would turn the heating back on. I have learned something about democracy that people in the United States would do well to take note of. And that is that democracy is not getting what you want. It is the privilege of having a vote. The essence, I guess, of my gratitude to you is summed up in the first point of every pastor's conference that I ever sat through in which you spoke, and there were many of them. Because for many years, as you coached and encouraged other pastors, I made a decision that I would be there for every one of them, and I was. And your first point in every pastor's conference was this: the greatest gift that you can give your congregation is to be a man of God. God gave me two fathers in my life. The first was Roger Meyer, a wonderful man whom I scared half to death. My father, I'm certain, was sure that I would one day go to prison and stay there for a long time. It wasn't true. I was a young Lutheran who wasn't particularly walking as a disciple until God interfered with my life at the age of 19 and put a call of God upon my life. I'm grateful for my first father because he demonstrated to me that one of the greatest things a man can ever do is to love their children's mother. My father loved my mother and he loved God, and he planted those two things in my heart. However, as a young Lutheran with a call of God upon my life, I needed a different kind of father. And perhaps one of the most extraordinary gift that God has ever given me is to have given me the gift of a friendship and a relationship with you. You came into my life at a time where God was beginning to pull upon the strings of my leadership call. I will never forget sitting in the back of a church one Sunday afternoon when you exercised the courage to believe that honouring God was more important than covering one's backside or ensuring that life turned out the way you might wish it to do. And on that day, I made a decision that you were the kind of man I could trust for the rest of my life. I made a decision to trust you on that day. I have never been disappointed, and I am so grateful. You inspired my trust that whoever honours God, God will honour that man. We stand in many ways in what I perceive, in my experience, as one of the most extraordinary examples of that passage of the Bible. He who honours me, I will honour. You are sitting in the midst of a property and a ministry that was forged out of gut-filled obedience. It inspired my vision. It caused me to want to resign my job and to commit my training into your hands. I was one of those who went to Bible college. I experienced what we called kamikaze weekends, where we trusted that if God was real, we could go out into places, talk about Jesus, and see the Holy Spirit move. And every one of us have extraordinary stories from those experiences. You called me into ministry and empowered me to begin to follow the call of God upon my life. You trained me. I did receive some white cards. You disciplined me. And in the midst of it, I made one of the smartest decisions I have ever made in my life. And that was not to run from discipline, but to lean into it. I trusted you through those years. Again, I have never been disappointed. You released me to do ministry in other places. You coached me without control. And you have loved me in spite of the fact that I was a child of the 60s and you were a child of the 30s. And yet somehow we managed in Jesus to make that combination work. Because of our great salvation, I will never have to say goodbye to you for the last time. I thank God for you. I deeply appreciate you. And there will be people all over the world who will be telling for the rest of their lives stories of appreciation about what you have meant. I want to leave you with one passage from the Word of God that if it doesn't apply to you, it doesn't apply to anybody. The Bible says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." I know in these final years when you're not so fully engaged with crowds that sometimes you might wonder, do people really know who I am? The answer is tens of thousands know who you are. God knows who you are. All of heaven knows your name. And one day, sir, you and I will stand together with delightfully new bodies in which we will enjoy whatever comes next. Thank you, sir. I will love you all the days of my life.
Getting close to cake time. As another one of Pastor Hal's kids, I am also indebted to him for the love he's shown to me, and I concur with everything that Al has said. Pam, thank you for what you said. It was wonderful. I've shared so many things over the years about the impact that Pastor Hal has had in my life, and I'm not going to repeat them again this morning. One of Pastor Hal's favourite sayings is, "You never escape your parents." And for me and for all of his kids, and you're right, Pam, he has lots of kids. For all of his kids, this would be true. And it's definitely true for the way I look back on my life with Pastor Hal. From the first time we met in 1974, some 42 years ago, there would not be a day, I don't think, where I haven't repeated, reflected, or acted upon the things that he's taught me. Chris and I have been privileged into being invited into Pastor Hal and Jill's life, and words cannot express our gratefulness for their friendship, their love and support. We love you so much, sir. Pastor Hal married us. He dedicated our children. He played a part in all of their marriages. And who would have believed that now in church he's enjoying our 8 grandchildren with us. I haven't got time to share stories of our time together, but one thing I'm sure. If Alan caused him to lose his hair, I think I caused him to take early retirement. It's an honour, and it has been a privilege to be entrusted with carrying out the ongoing outworking of the vision that Pastor Hal had. My only disappointment today is that Pastor Hal can't physically see what he birthed so many years ago. Sir, we love you so much. We really do. I'm wondering if you and Jill would come back up onto the platform again, and we'd like to light the cake and have you blow it out with your bit of paper as you always do, and then we're going to sing happy birthday to you. I'm wondering if all the family would come up. That would be great. Bring the kids if you want, if you can, that's great. It would be great to have all of Pastor Hal's family up here. And Chris, would you join me, please? Can we have someone play happy birthday? Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Do you want to say anything?
Can you move up a bit?
No. He should stay in the middle, don't you think? Hmm? He could stay in the middle, don't you think? Why don't the rest of the family come around this side here?
On the microphone?
Yeah, sure.
I don't feel 100 years old. I don't feel a day older than 99. I've come to understand that age doesn't matter. It's health that matters. And God's blessed Jill and myself with wonderful health. Yes, my eyesight and hearing is bad. Otherwise, I'm very fit, and so is Jill. She's 80 next birthday. And I'm 100. And we're both healthy. And we just praise God for that wonderful health we have. And for the family we have who are standing up here too, particularly the great-grandchildren, because I'm now great. I'm also blessed with such a wonderful wife. Jill has been an incredible wife and a most wonderful and precious friend and companion. God has really blessed me, and also with this little lass, my daughter, who from a baby, you know, some youngsters are supposed to go through a gangly stage when they become a problem. She never went through that stage. I never let her.
Just you wait.
And she's been a joy ever since she was a baby. That's genuine. And I've been blessed for my daughter and our family. I want to thank you today for coming. I want to thank the assembly for the phone calls, the cards, the emails, the congratulations. It's wonderful of you, and I want to thank those who are visiting today. A lot of you have already said hello. There'll be others here. I don't know that you're here. If you come up to me afterwards, remember, I can't recognise you. You have to tell me who you are. And I'd love to see you, but I really appreciate the response today and the numbers who have come to show their love. That's been extremely meaningful to me. Thank you so much. I thought it'd be a good time to quickly mention that I mentioned to Pastor Graham a few weeks back that after prayer I had decided to retire from preaching. So my Pastor Graham has, with much grace and kindness, has allowed me to preach about once a month for several years now, and that's been a blessing. I've so appreciated him allowing me to do that. But there's a time to stop, and so I thought at 100 be a good day to retire. So my last message is going to be, I think it's the 18th of December, when I'll be preaching on restoring a broken down life.